I raise my voice when I should reinforce my argument. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. I raise my voice when I should reinforce my argument. Isn't that what we always do? When we have nothing to prove our point, we raise our voice. If we're losing in an argument, we get louder. We shout, and we use profanity. And we shout and shout and shout and shout because we're not getting across. Now, why is it that we're not getting across? Why is it that we're not getting across? Because we haven't gotten across to ourselves first. In any discussion, if I will think to myself at the beginning of the discussion, what is it that I want to project in this situation? In other words, what do I want to say? How will I say it? And what will I have said when I'm done? What will I leave people with after they have been listening to me in a discussion, in an argument, in any type of thing? Many times around the table here, as we sit here in our dining room of the Absolute Monastery, we have this beautiful big round table that would seat 8 or 10 people at max. And we have a lazy Susan in the middle that twirls around, and it's about 28 inches wide, and it has everything in the kitchen sink on it, so that we have everything available to us. And we have easy chairs, which you sit back at, which would be more like desk chairs, you know, very comfortable, padded, with all sorts of nice things about it. We have a beautiful fan and a lamp right over our table here. In case it gets a little warm, we can turn it on, and then it can compete with the air conditioner. And then we have this beautiful light blue carpet that Stefan bought for up here in the mountain. And this light blue carpet shows every little breath mark on it. And Stefan, after he put the carpet down, he went to Switzerland. I wish he would come back and visit at least once a month and clean the carpet or something like that. But no, that's not to be done. Now, what is any argument that we have? For instance, we talk to people and we say, Ingeborg is concentrating on something else, and I'll say, Ingeborg? And then she's not hearing me. And then I'll say, Ingeborg? And I'll raise my voice, and she doesn't hear me yet because she's concentrating on something else. Finally, I'll shout, Ingeborg! And then she'll turn toward me and look and say, what's your problem? You know. Now, what I do with Rex, I'll say to Rex, Rex, sit. Rex, sit! Rex, sit! How you doing? You heard me, didn't you, huh? Rex, sit! Come over here. Come on. Come, boy. And then when I gently say, Rex, sit now. Good boy. Good boy, Rex. Sit. Yes, you're a lovely dog. You see, the gentle, kind words, pour a little bit in and leave it alone. The gentle, kind words bring great results. Bring great results. Whereas the shouting merely intimidates, interrogates, and irritates everyone who's listening, whether it's you, the speaker, or the listener. Now, can we train ourselves not to raise our voice when we want to get an argument across? Can we train ourselves not to shout and holler at people? You say, well, I don't do that. Oh, yes, you do. I have seen all of us shouting and hollering and carrying on with something terrible when we are not getting our way. And we may not have it in a loud voice, but we have it in a loud attitude. The attitude comes across like gangbusters, you know. It just wants to really take control. And we don't want to do that. Because anytime we let our attitude take control, we're not in control. Now, I raise my voice when I should reinforce my argument. When I'm giving a lecture and I'm talking on a beautiful subject that interests me very much. I don't have to raise my voice. I have such an intriguing topic that's coming across, such an intriguing idea. People just listen and hang on to it. Now, when I was in the university, our professor would say to us, "All right, now close your books and sit there and listen." And so we'd close our books and listen. And then he'd lower his voice. He'd say, "Now, we're going to talk about ancient history. We're going to talk about the time of the Macedonians and how they were ruling a portion of the earth with a great deal of power." And he'd get lower and lower in his voice. And the whole room was dead silence. And everyone listened very carefully. And as they listened very carefully, he was able to tell the story in such a dramatic, powerful way, with his powerful words, but quiet words, that got the message across. We could just see them thundering across the steeps, and we could just see them moving into the villages. We could just see them taking over the village and saying, "We are now the rulers of this village." And the people say, "Fine. Yesterday it was that group, today it's this group, tomorrow it'll be another group, you know. We are not going to engage in fighting you people." "What? You mean the citizens of the community just allowed that to happen?" "Yeah. Because every group that came in brought something with them of their culture, they brought something with them of their things, and when the new group came in and chased the old group out who was there for a day or two or a week or a month, they left behind all the goodies that they had. And so every marauding group that comes in and takes over our city, because we don't fight, why should we fight? They're just bringing us a new supply." And we have the vision to realize that it's come and go. And then there's a period of time when nobody wants us, when we are a community that nobody wants us, and we are living in peace. You see, when you don't fight your adversary, but you agree with him instantly and let him play his game and then go his way, once, you see, the moment you have said yes, the sale is over. When you say no, 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 then they're going to keep probing you and pushing you and arguing with you and trying to get across their point of view. But when you can just say, "Yes, that's interesting. Yes, that's very unique. Yes, that's something special," then there's no more discussion. "You must become a Catholic." And okay, so I become a Catholic, you know, and flow with it. And just think how the Crusades would have been much more satisfactorily done if everybody just agreed, "Okay, we'll become a Catholic." And then as soon as the Crusaders left, they went about their own pagan religion. Pagan means non-Catholic, you know. They went about their own religion. And when the Crusaders came back through again, well, then they carried the cross of Jesus around, you know. And they would be Catholic because the Crusaders were not staying in their village. They were just passing through. They were just trying to make converts, bringing everyone to Christ, which was a very noble, wonderful thing, I guess, you know. But you see, you don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to raise your voice. The king of Peru, or one of those countries down there, was brought to task by the Spanish who came in and took over the country looking for gold. And the king says, "Take all our gold. You can have it. Doesn't matter to us. We are not hung up and possessed by our gold. Go ahead, take it." And so the Spaniards thought, well, surely they must be hiding it. And so they made the king, in front of his entire community, eat his own defecation. And the king says, "So what? You know, so what?" And he did it. And the Spaniards realized they had not controlled him. They could not manipulate him. And so they killed him. But the thing is, you see, when you just stand up for who you are, that king is remembered throughout all history as being a noble king. And whereas how many other kings were slaughtered and you never even hear about them? You never even know about them? But this one, because He stood up for principle, and he was not going to be intimidated. He was able to be remembered, not that that's the important thing to do, but he believed in himself. He believed in himself. Now, did he shout at them? No. He just knew his own argument. I raised my voice when I should reinforce my argument. His argument was, okay, whatever you say. We don't care. Take our kingdom if you want. I mean, any king or any ruler, we have a thundering hoofbeats of our Rex playing with a sock here, just having himself a ball. Well, any king or any ruler knows that this too shall pass. Like the king who went up on the mountainside in China, and he wanted to see the great man, the great hermit who lived up there. And he went with his entourage to see the hermit. And as he arrived at the hermit's location, the hermit's assistant said, you may wait in this room over here. It was a little house. And so 3 or 4 days went by, and the king was waiting. Finally, the king says, can't I see the hermit? And his assistant said, just be patient. Just be patient. Well, a week passed. And then finally, the hermit said, send the king in. So the king went in to see the hermit. I mean, a hermit saying, okay, to a king. Well, the king came to the hermit. And so the hermit said, what may I do to help you? And the king says, well, my country's going to pot. We're losing our wars. We're losing our everything else. And you know, it's a tough time. And so the hermit said to the king, very quietly, very peacefully, this is my wisdom for you. This too shall pass. And of course, that was just exactly right. Because when the king went back home, the heaviness of the problem was over, and little by little, everything went right back into place. And this is what happens to us. When we realize that there's no need to argue, no need to shout, no need to reinforce our argument with loud voices, but we reinforce our argument with understanding of what it is we're doing. And we are at peace. Whenever anyone tries to intimidate you, just go within yourself for a moment and say, I am peace. I am peace. I am peace. Douglas was walking around the house here in his stocking feet, and as he went around the corner, he clucked his toe on a cabinet. And not having the experience of being here at the monastery very long, he instantly said, ow, 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 ow! And Sylvia Ingeborg said to him, Douglas, say, all is in divine order. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And Douglas said, well, I'm not whole and perfect. My toe hurts. Well, of course, he embodied the toe, and now he loves to show off the black toe that he has, because he loves having his red badge of courage, that he hit his toe and it really hurt. Now, we would be much more proud of Douglas if he had hit his toe and said, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole, and withdrew his attention from the hurt toe entirely so that it could return to its original purity and integrity, and then he would have had it. But because he concentrated on the hurt, it left a little memento to him. When a dog is injured and there's no one around to take care of him, he crawls under the back porch, so to speak. He crawls into a cave, he hides. And he turns off the pain. A dog can do that. He can turn off the pain. We can too. And then he lets the healing take place. And then when he's healed, he comes out and plays again. But you see, we have so much to learn from our animal friends and from other things of nature. But what do we want to do? We want to say, the appearance is real and therefore you must acknowledge it. Well, no. If you acknowledge the appearance, which is constantly changing and constantly not there and there according to what your thinking is, if you are in charge of those appearances in your own mind, then you have already reinforced your statement. And who is it you're trying to prove it to?
Yourself.
Yourself. So if you can prove to yourself that you are master of your mind, master of your thinking, master of your world, then you don't need to raise your voice, because your argument is already well ensconced within you, and you know who you are, what you are, and why you are there. So I say, have a lovely day, and know that my love and my blessings are with you always, and I think you're just fantastic.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.